Hey everyone, and welcome to the 23rd episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. This podcast will be an opportunity to highlight some of the amazing members of the One of Us community and help you to meet some of the people that make this the greatest group of individuals on the internet. The One of Us community is an inclusive gaming community made up of content creators, viewers, and gamers from all over the world. The community focuses on the tenets of playing games, having fun, and helping to lift each other up. The Discord is open to all people who share these values at discord.gg/oneofus. Make sure you follow and review the podcast to help others find it and join the community. Also, you can now sub to the podcast at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support. All monetary support will go to bringing about more episodes, commissioning artwork and music, and future giveaways. My guest this week is Ginger Slayer. Ginger is a mod and supporter of most of the community streams and a genuinely kind individual whose motivation as a mod is simply to help people do what they love. He joins me tonight to share some stories, share some laughs, and answer some questions from the Discord. So sit down, relax, and enjoy the next hour or so with our good friend Ginger Slayer on the One of Us Community Podcast. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the 23rd episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. I am joined tonight by a community moderator and probably like the staple beard of the One of Us community, Ginger Slayer. How are you tonight, bud?
Doing great, Rock. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been a long week, but it's a long weekend here in the States, so I'm pretty excited to kick back and maybe have a few beers and relax.
I hear you on that one.
So why don't you tell people that may have not interacted with you yet, kind of what you do here in the community, where people might see you, things like that.
I really just hang out a lot in all the different streams. You know, mainly the stream team. Obviously, I mod for some of them, like Obi, Emperor Palpastream, Toolator, Devil's Wrath. It's Bree. I also help mod and some of the community member streams too, like Baza Van Dam and Banshee. There's a few others. Sorry if I missed anybody, but
so you're pretty much like you're like a general moderator. You're like a skid mark.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I mod a lot of channels.
junior skid, right?
Yeah, maybe like a distant cousin.
That's fair. Well, that's dope. I mean, how have you been like in the Mixer community and like around Mixer for a while then?
Not really that long, actually. I didn't even know Mixer existed until about September.
Oh wow! So that's only what, 8 months?
Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
How did you end up stumbling across Mixer?
Really, I had really just a crap day one day, and I hadn't pulled my Xbox out in months, if not a year. And I just happened to hook it up and turn it on, and I saw it pop up across the top, and I'm like, what the hell is that? I really, honestly, my first thought was, did they add a freaking dating app to the Xbox?
That's what everybody says. I love it.
I'm like, what is Mixer? And I clicked on it. Yeah, it was kind of over from there.
Yeah. Had you watched streams before, like on Twitch or anything, or was that like your first experience to live streaming?
No, I'd never watched anything like it before. I'd heard about it before, and I'd even seen, you know, at some point on TV, them doing the Overwatch tournaments and stuff, and I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. You can do it right from your Xbox now.
I guess that's kind of the purpose of them putting it there, right, is to expose more people to it. So what got you... I mean, obviously, you started watching that day. What got you really interested in sticking around the community to watch streams?
Well, it's really that's really the day I found the One of Us community.
Oh, really?
I turned it on, and honestly, I had no clue what Fortnite was.
I had, lucky bastard.
I had zero idea. And Rob happened to be either featured or they were like doing some Fortnite thing. And I saw the guy in the red Mario hat and I went, who is this clown? And what is he playing? And I clicked it and I'm like, this is what Fortnite is. And then I ended up hanging around for a while because he was just a funny guy and he was just nice to everybody. It was like, wow, I thought the internet was generally toxic. Where is this coming from?
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, have you, so I obviously had an Xbox. So have you been gaming for a while? Like, did you grow up playing games?
I've never been a real like hardcore kind of gamer. Like, I've been really casual with it when I was younger. You know, we got an NES from my grandmother when I was real young, you know, when Duck Hunt and Mario came on the same cartridge and life was great.
Things were easy. You had guns came packaged with your console.
Exactly. You know, I had that, and I really didn't have another system until I bought my own PS1 later on in life.
Yeah.
Played that a little bit. And then I didn't get another one until PS3. And then I went to Xbox. I went right to the Xbox One.
So you kind of jumped around, you know, kind of bought them as you saw fit. was there any games that, you know, like when you bought your PS1, like, was there a reason, like, was there a game that really got you to want to play PS1?
I actually went to a buddy's house and we were hanging out and he had just gotten Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was over at that point. I had to officially stop spending money on stupid things and buy the important things in life.
Like PlayStation.
Like a PlayStation and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I mean, what else do you need?
Dude, I remember just spending hours and hours and hours on that game. Like, when that first came out, like, that like defined the entire genre of, like, what skateboarding games were going to be.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm pretty sure I spent like a solid month, if you put the hours together, with Bob Burnquist in Area 51.
Oh my God.
Just like, you know, like just doing his special. I forget what it was called, but just doing his special trick around the outside loop repeatedly.
Yeah.
For no reason, but just to try to get a billion points.
Yeah, exactly. And it had that, like, absolutely, like, killer rock soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack was amazing on that game. I loved it.
And it's funny because I can't name a single song from that soundtrack. But if I hear it, I can go, that was in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1.
Absolutely.
Like, this guy, I think because you just played it so long, like, those songs just burned into your brain. Well, that's awesome. What games, I mean, do you play games now?
Yeah, I mean, I play, again, real casually. I spend more time watching people play games than I do playing games, which is kind of ironic, I suppose.
I feel that on a personal level. So I have generally, like, three nights where, like, I'm not streaming, right? And they're Wednesday nights after my golf league. Saturday nights and then Sunday nights while I'm editing the podcast. And like Wednesdays and Saturdays, I sit down, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna play games off stream. Like, I'm gonna try something new and find something new to go into the rotation. And I just end up sitting here watching streams. And all of a sudden it's like 11 o'clock and I'm like, fuck, I didn't play anything tonight.
Well, that's my thing. Like, I'll jump into somebody's stream, like with Tingles, you know, I jumped into his stream one day and I'm watching him play this just game I've never heard of, Beat Cop.
Okay.
And I'm watching, like, just the gameplay. It's a side-scroller kind of game. And just the interactions and the commentary in the game, I'm dying laughing. I'm like, I got to get that game.
Yeah.
So I download it. I played it for, like, an hour with my laptop next to me with his stream up. He hosts somebody, and I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Shiny thing. Shiny.
I found a lot of games that way, though. Like, and like, I think that's, and I think that's why you're starting to see, like, a lot of game companies lean into content creators and streamers to, like, help to advertise and get exposure for their games. Because, like, I know me personally, and now granted, obviously I'm a little bit more invested into live streaming than most people. But if I want to check out a new game, like, I'm going to go to Mixer, I'm going to go to Twitch, I'm going to go to YouTube, and I'm going to find information about it that way.
Well, that's that's just it. That's kind of what kept me going on Mixer was when I first started into it. I'm like, okay, so this is what Fortnite is. I'm like, great, I'm done with that. But, you know, like I'm scrolling through the list of games that are on there, and I'm like, well, I kind of wanted to buy that game, but I'm not going to watch it for a while and not spend $60.
Yeah, right. Or, you know? Or, you know, on the flip side of that, like, see if you want, like, see if it seems like it's worth spending $60.
Well, that's what I mean, you know, like, watch it and just see what the game, how the game works, and if I think it's worth spending the money, or if I just click on something else.
Like, that happened to me today. So, like, I've always been a fan of, like, golf sim games. I played a lot of, like, Tiger Woods PGA Tour when I was in college. And then a few years back, I backed this game called The Golf Club. And, like, it was a super simulation-style golf game.
Was that the one? It didn't really have any, like, American pro golfers in it.
This didn't have any pro golfers in it. This was just, like, it was all create a player. And then the big shtick was, like, it had this very in-depth course creator. And the community came together and built all of these, like, incredible golf courses. Like, highly detailed to the point where, like, they had to mark them, like, this one is okay to play on console. This one's okay to play on PC. And this one's okay to play on PC if, like, you've got, like, a monster rig. But I had backed that, like, way back when it was in Kickstarter, and the original game came out, and, like, I played a ton of it. I loved it. But I had kind of fallen off of it, and, like, there's two new versions, but the newest version's on Game Pass this month. So I signed on tonight while I was, pulling the questions together for the podcast, and, one of the Mixer partners I follow, Bama Shocks, he was playing it, so I'm like, oh, I'm gonna check this out and, like, see how this looks now. And it's crazy. Like, it's like a completely different game. And I'm like, man, now I need to get this game and see how far it's come, because it looks so good.
See, but now you got me wanting to try it, because I just recently stopped playing Rory McIlroy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, just probably a couple months ago. I was, like, done with it. I'm like, all right, I'm over this.
I'd be happy to let you know. Now I need a new game. It is on Game Pass. Or not. Is it on Game Pass? No, it's Games with Gold this month. So you just got, just download it. It's fine.
It's going to happen.
That's cool. So, like, when you're playing games, like, when you do find time to play games now, like, are you just playing, like, a myriad of things? Like, whatever you've seen people play, like, that's what you jump into? Or are there any games that really, really sucking you in right now?
See, I play a lot of different stuff. I mean, I play a little bit of Siege. I'm horrible at it, but I love it. Like, I can do horribly and still not rage at that game. I don't know why. I just like it. But, like, Destiny 2, actually, after watching you play it on PC for a long time, really? I was like, I got to download that and just try it. I never played one.
Oh, you didn't?
No, but I'm looking at the game, and I'm like, that looks really kind of cool. Like, I really want to try that. So I bought it. I started playing it. I actually started doing really good, and something happened with my external hard drive.
Oh, no.
It lost the game, and anytime I try to download it now, it just blows an error message up.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh, my God.
I was devastated. Me and Handsome were actually playing it, like, every Friday night together. We both started a new, you know, a new Guardian, and we were both, like, trying to run it at the same time and just not playing it separately.
That makes me so happy and so sad at the same time.
And I was like, he got a hold of me one day, and he's like, hey, you want to play tonight? And I'm like, sure. And I load it up, and we're just standing at the tower, and then all of a sudden the screen just, like, goes black and then pops up at the home screen. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Like,
And, of course, I feel bad because he's trying to stream, so he's just sitting on the tower screen going, yeah, we'll just hang out and wait, see what happens.
Oh, no.
I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry.
Oh, man. That's the worst.
Yep.
So you're playing Siege now, though?
Yeah, I've been playing Siege lately, you know, just really just dicking around with it. I mean, I am not a Tool. I'm not a Jay Crisby. I'm not It's Bree. I don't know the maps. I don't know you could put any one of the people in front of me. I don't know who they are.
There's some people in this community that are extremely humble but are very, very good at that game.
Yeah, I'm not one of those.
They won't admit it. They'll be like, oh, no, you know, I'm just playing casually and messing around. But they are very good Siege players.
Like Platinum 3 and I'm okay, you know.
Yeah,
like,
you know, I didn't sleep good last night. I got a bit of a headache. Got a twitch in my left eye. It's, you know, it's an off night.
Yeah, that's Tool dropping through like a hatch and getting like 3 no scope kills and then getting picked off by somebody and going, I didn't get my G fizzle in me. That's what it was. I'm like, really, guy? You just did something I could never do, and you're trying to make an excuse for it.
Come on. Gotta tuck some G Fuel under my lip. You know, there we go. Ready for the next game.
Pack a lip or a powder, you're good to go.
Oh, that's amazing. So do you enjoy? We'll get back to talking about like the modding that you do on the streams. Do you enjoy like modding for people?
I do. I mean, there's some days where you just get in somebody's stream and it's obnoxious how it goes sometimes. But for the most part, it's a lot of fun. I try to treat it like, you know, I look at it as, you know, they're trying to do a job. Like people are trying to make money doing this. Yeah. If I can help them and make it easier for them to do it, why not? I mean, I'm sitting at my computer watching them anyway.
I don't think people take the time to say this enough, but having even just one moderator in chat as a streamer makes your life so much easier. You know, especially like I've noticed it more like lately, because now with the two PC setups, like I've got 4 monitors. There's chat windows on like all different monitors. And to try to do something simple like a shout out, I've got to figure out which monitor my chat's on, which computer that's hooked up to, which mouse and keyboard that actually goes to, just so that I can type, you know, shout out this person. I mean, it's definitely helpful. How did you start getting into modding? Like, was it something that just kind of happened, or
it was kind of by accident, actually.
Oh, really?
Palp was doing. When you guys did your first, I'm trying to think of the charity that it was for. It was the Extra Life one. Palp was doing his 24-hour stream, and I was hanging out, and I happened to get up real early that morning for whatever reason, and, you know, I was doing stuff around the house, and it was on, and he popped on all of a sudden. Somebody hosted him. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And he's going along, and he keeps trying to talk about Extra Life while he's playing the game.
Yeah.
And then I see him pop a couple commands in chat, and I'm like, oh, you know. And I left for the day. You know, I just lurked in his channel. I left for the day. I came back at like 9 o'clock at night or something like that. And he's still going. And at this point, he's at that I'm tired, but I'm not passing out kind of stage. And he starts talking about Extra Life, and he's typing the commands, but he's mistyping them, and he's getting mad at himself. So I sat there for like a half an hour kind of laughing about it. And then he'd start talking about it, and I just typed the command in for him.
Yeah.
And it popped up. And, you know, nothing ever came of that. And the next morning I get up, he's still going because he's still got like 3 or 4 hours left. I start doing it, and he's just like, are you really helping me do this right now? He's like, I appreciate this because I don't even know where I am right now.
Oh, my God. I remember because that was during like one of the first couple weekends of duck season that year. And I was sitting on the edge of the water at like 4 o'clock in the morning because I had gone to public land. So I got there super early, got set up, and I'm like, let's see who's on Mixer like while I sit here and wait for the sun to come up. And Palp was on, and like he was like, I think he was at that point, like you said, where he was just like, he was comatose, but he was just rolling with it. And I remember having a conversation with him. I'm like, he has no idea what we're talking about right now. Like, this is not processing through his brain like at all.
Yeah, he doesn't see what he sees right now.
No, like he's just trying to play games the best he can. Yeah. That was such a wild week, though. Like that was so insane. Like how much money ended up coming about to raise for the kids. Like that was, I'm still kind of in shock.
It was so cool to watch that whole thing come together. I mean, I was still pretty new. I mean, that was what, October.
Yeah,
you know, that was
like the first weekend of November, I think.
Yeah, I'd only been on Mixer about a month and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm like watching you guys do this stuff. I'm like, this is friggin' awesome. I mean, you guys are literally sitting there playing games, trying to earn money, but at the same time telling people, don't donate to me, don't sub to me, don't do anything. Yeah. Put the money here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, what a group of people to say, nah, never mind, don't give me money. Give it to these people.
Yeah. Well, and it's wild because, like, I've done Extra Life in some capacity for, like, probably the last 4 years. But, like, I've never had, like, any reach, and I've never had, like, a community like we have now behind us. So it'd be, like, it'd pretty much be, like, whoever, like, catches, like, from my family, and they go and donate to my campaign or something like that. But it's always been, like, a near and dear charity to my heart. And then, obviously, once we had a kid, it started to click and mean a little bit more.
Right, it gets more personal at that point.
Yeah. And, you know, last year, like, we started talking as a team about doing something. And I don't think any of us really, I mean, we knew that we had a very strong and supportive community, but, like, I don't think any of us expected, you know, what came out of that. I mean, we raised a couple $1,000s over the course of a week. And, like, I remember getting a text from Rob at, like, I don't know, 6 a.m. Like, I was out hunting, and he's like, we're going to need to up the goal. I'm like, what do you mean we're going to need to up the goal? Like, we've only been doing this for, like, 3 days. So we upped it, and then, like, the next day I got another text, and he's like, yeah, we're gonna have to up that goal again. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But it was such a surreal feeling, like, just to know that we came together as a community, and we did something absolutely fantastic. It was really nice.
That was amazing to watch it go down. I mean, I remember seeing the goal at $1,000 and thinking to myself,
that was our stretch goal.
I'm like, these guys are dreaming. There's no way they're going to get $1,000.
That was our stretch goal, and we did it in like 3 days out of the week-long charity stream.
Well, it just goes to show you what you guys are building out there.
It's, you know, there's certain events, like, and there's certain periods in time where, like, and I think I mentioned this on Bree's podcast, like, sometimes it feels like the decisions we've made have just been, like, luck. Right. And, like, just the pieces have somehow fallen together, and we don't really know what we're doing, but it's working. And that was one of those moments. Like, that was one of those moments where we're like, holy shit, like, we've got, like, we're moving in the right direction here. Like, we're bringing the right people together to do some incredible things. And it's a good feeling.
Well, that's it. I mean, I thought that to myself. I don't know if it was during Devil's podcast or Breeze, but I was listening and you were talking about, you know, the Discord and the community as a general. And I'm like, you know, I really don't understand how there is so little toxicity. Like, it's so easy for people to, you know, talk to you and chat and be nice to you and chat and, you know, hey, join my Discord. And they jump in the Discord, and then all of a sudden they just flip to a totally different person. Yeah, that doesn't seem to happen at all.
No.
And I may have just jinxed the whole thing and go meet.
It's all going to hell in a handbasket now. No, but, like, it's amazing that we can bring this many people together, and it genuinely feels like, you go through and you read some of these channels, and it genuinely feels like everybody's friends.
So cool. And you never see, like, I can't say you never see it, but you don't see, like, an argument start between people. You don't see any of that stuff. You don't even see somebody say, you know, somebody put something up in the art section, somebody go, wow, that looks like crap.
Yeah.
You don't see anything like that. Like, you never see a negative thing, really.
No. And on the, but, like, on the other side of that, like, is it doesn't feel forced and it doesn't feel fake. Like, it feels like we just have genuinely good people in the community. You know, where, like, sometimes you might see this positivity and you can tell that they're just being positive, like, as an ends to their own or a means to their own ends. Right.
Right.
But,
right.
Like, everybody seems so genuine, like, you don't get that either.
Yeah. You never get that feeling of, oh, OK. Right. Oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, you don't get that.
Yeah.
That I appreciate you being fake to me here, but, you know, move on kind of thing. No. It's always a. I can't even explain it. I mean, I've never really run into a scenario like this before where everybody is legitimately just good people.
Yeah, it's I don't know how the hell we did it, but we did it. And we'll
whatever,
keep doing it.
Whatever you're doing, bottle it and sell it, man.
Dude, I'm telling you. If you could see, like, if you could see some of the quote-unquote planning and conversations that go in, like, on the team side and, like, on the founder side, like, they're just as scatterbrained as our streams are, and yet somehow, like, we make good decisions, right? And we bring the right people in that help, you know, push along the values and the ideas of the community and help build it with the right people. And it's, dude, I'm telling you, it feels like luck, pure dumb luck.
Well, I mean, it's probably a part of that, but it's also just the way you guys all handle, you know, handle it in the stream. Like,
yeah,
you know, people see the way you act, and it's kind of human nature just to act like that. That's around you.
That's
so
true.
If people see, you know, the way Rob acts in his chat, he's just nice to everybody.
Yeah.
People see the way you act in your chat. I mean, you're not overly nice to people. You don't like go out of your way to like kiss anybody's ass, but like, no. You're not, hey, oh, hey, this guy said a word, shout out.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, that guy said a word, shout out. But you're never, if somebody comes into your chat and says, wow, you suck at Destiny, it's not a stretch, I mean, to see you look at the screen and go, yeah, well, you suck at life. Move on.
But I mean, you're not wrong.
If somebody's not being trolly, you know, and they're not being an a-hole, you're just genuinely nice to them because why not?
Yeah,
and I think that's what builds it.
And I think even like the trolly nature of my personality comes from a place of fun. You know, like even when I'm in other people's channels, like, and a troll comes in, like, I would rather play with the troll and you know, see how they handle themselves rather than just ban them. You know what I mean? And I think that comes more from a place of fun than negativity.
Right.
But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
You know, I totally feel you on that. I forget whose stream it was. It was either last night or the night before. I was in there. I think it might have been Tool's stream, actually. And two people came in, and they both just came in guns blazing.
Yeah.
Just trying to personally attack Tool, and I was like, nope, done.
The type of people you know aren't going to be there, right? They came in specifically to get banned.
Right, the Blueberry account with 47 numbers at the end of it just comes in, guns blazing, you know, you're fat, you're this, you're that, you're, you know, just banned immediately. And then I said in chat something to the effect of, that's enough of that, because I'll just keep banning you. And then somebody started talking to me, like, I forget what he said, something about, ooh, you have power, and then a bunch of expletives after, and I'm like, okay, well, what do you got for me? Bring it on, buddy.
You gotta try harder, like, than that.
Like, go for it. And before I could even type anything out to say anything back to him, Pug banned him, and I was like, no, you ruined my fun.
It's like when a cat gets a mouse, right? They've got to bat the mouse around and play with it a little bit before they eat it. It's like the same thing, you know.
At that point, it was like, you came in here to be malicious.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to give you in return. You know, I'm gonna give you back what you're giving, so you can see maybe a small piece, if you're lucky, of how you're making people feel, and maybe that'll fix your head a little bit.
I've always said that, like, it feels like kids today don't know how to troll. And this might be like old man Rock talking, but like, just coming in and saying something racist or homophobic or just generally shitty, like, that's not good trolling. Like, that's not creative. Like, that's not nothing. Like, a good troll should make you realize that, you know what, I have to ban this person, but that was funny. It seems like that art has been lost.
Have you seen the movie Gone in 60 Seconds?
Oh, of course.
You know that scene where they're stealing the car and the guy tries to carjack him?
Yeah.
And he just reaches out and like bangs his head off the car and he's like, kids today, anybody can pull a gun on somebody.
Exactly.
That's how I feel in that moment.
We're like the tacticians, right? Stealing cards and trolling streams. And these kids just come in, just like, give me the card. I'm like, that's not how this works, bud.
That's exactly it. It's like, don't come in here and just, you know, yeah. Or the guys that try to come in with like a racist name.
Yeah. And try to get you to read it.
And they just type, hi, can you read my name?
Yeah.
Like, no, like, go away.
You're dealing with seasoned veterans over here.
I may not be, you know, a really smart computer feller, but I control you in real life. I can type the words out too.
Yeah. I always love the kids, right? They come in with the same name. It starts with ice. And they try to get you to read their name. And I'm like, dude, I've seen like 12 of you this month. You got to get a little more creative than that.
All I can picture is that's comic book guy from The Simpsons just sitting in his basement, just making up new gamer tags every day or new mixer tags every day.
Or like Cartman from the World of Warcraft episode.
Oh, my God.
Just can't move out of his chair. He's just stuck in his computer.
You know, you laugh at that. You have no idea how dangerously close I became to that.
Really?
I hadn't played video games in a long time.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to go Christmas shopping, and a guy that I work with was like, shit, I need to do my Christmas shopping too. I was like, well, I'll pick you up. I'm going to the mall. You're kind of on the way. I stop at his house, and he's sitting at his computer playing World of Warcraft. I had never seen it before. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And he was just starting out a new character. So he was like level 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, check this out. And he's like showing me how it works. And he's like, oh, hold on. Let me jump on my main real quick and I'll show you how this one is. And I'm like, all right. That's kind of cool. So, you know.
Let me try that out.
A week later, I own the game.
Yep.
Blizzard owns my soul. And I'm staying up until 4 in the morning, you know, playing this game with a bunch of people I work with and a bunch of other people. And I have to be up for work in 2 hours.
That sounds like WoW.
So that lasted for about a year and a half. And then I was like, I need to stop. I can't pay $15 a month to play a game that I've already bought.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make any sense to me.
That was always... So, like, one of my roommates got me into WoW in college. And luckily I wasn't like others. Like, there was stories of dudes like failing out of college because they just disappeared playing WoW.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, I remember hearing a story about one guy. He got WoW. His roommates didn't hear from him for like a week. And it got to the point where the school sent like a health checkup on him.
Send a resource officer for a wellness check.
Yeah, pretty much. And they found him like just playing fucking WoW. So they're like, yeah, you're probably not gonna be in school anymore. So they threw him out, and like he actually ended up having to like his parents lived in India. Like, he was a foreign exchange student.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he ended up having to get flown back to India, and it was a whole thing. But
see, can you imagine the conversation if you went to college in Florida and you get sent back to like Detroit? Now imagine that conversation when you're the only one in your family that's had the opportunity to go to a college that good, and now you're getting flown home because of a damn video game.
Yeah, right. That game, like, it messed people up.
Oh, it's bad.
And like, there was talks at like GDC and like other conventions about like how like they had done studies on like addiction and like how to play those like addictive personalities through the game. Like, so the idea of, you know, your loot drops being like the spin of a slot machine and what the right amount of basically endorphins and dopamine to give you to keep you playing, and it worked. Like, that's why like WoW is still a thing, you know, 20 years later. Oh,
there's a whole psychology behind it. I mean,
oh yeah,
I was in sales for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that, like, they teach you how to manipulate people, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what I did is I managed a tire store.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and, like, the idea was not to lie to people so much, but to use their life and their natural instinct against them.
Yeah.
Like, say, you know, I hate using this example, but I always end up using it. Say your wife came to the store to buy tires mm-hmm. for her, you know, her sedan or whatever.
Yeah.
And I see your son's car seat in the back.
Yep.
While I'm walking around the car looking at the tires. Well, yep. I have a certain tire that I want her to buy because I'm going to make more money on it.
Yeah.
So I repeatedly use words like safe,
yep.
traction, you know, quality, things like that are going to make her go, oh, those are things that I want.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say anything bad about anything else that I have.
No.
But I'm certainly not going to use those words.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of the same line of thinking, like, make them think they need it.
Mm-hmm. So we were recently working on finishing our basement, right? So I'm building a stream den down in the basement. We're going to have a big play area for the little man and then like a finished laundry room and shit. But our house is older. Like, so we had a lot of water in our basement, especially in like springtime. So we wanted to bring companies in to waterproof it before we started finishing it. And so we brought two companies in. The first one demanded that both me and my wife were there when the salesman came to give us a quote. And when he came, all he did was he walked around and did like the most random of things. Like he hit the block wall with like a hammer. He put some random like black box with some flashing lights down in the corner. And like just pointed to all these things that were clearly water stains. He's like, oh yeah, that's mold. Oh, that's fungus. Oh, that's black mold. This and that, right? While my wife's walking around down there with our 2-year-old son. Then we go back upstairs and he explains to me about how like we have all this mold, and then he brings his little black blinking box up, and apparently that was checking like air quality, and like our basement had like the worst air quality he's ever seen, and like it would cause all of these issues and this and that. And we needed to do this.
I'm pretty sure your basement made downtown Beijing seem like
that's,
you know, mountain air.
Yeah, that's kind of like the fucking point he was giving like to us. And then like, and you know what? I was almost with him, because they did come highly recommended from a lot of places. But then he drops the line, and I'll take $1,000 off if you sign up and schedule today, like right now.
That means like, you're charging me too much.
And I'm like, ooh. I'm like, you just lost it there. Like, that's fucking red flags galore, right? So I'd say, I'm like, no, I go, we'll talk through it, make sure we've got the money, and we'll wait. And we brought another company in. And the second company comes in and has, like, almost the same presentation, like, in the final, like, of what they do. The difference was is we went down in the basement and, like, he explained everything to us, right? And, like, cammed our French drain. And I'm like, you know, is this mold? He goes, no. He goes, it's fucking water spots. He goes, that's where the water was coming in. He goes, it's really not that bad down here. He goes, I think you got a lot of water. He goes, but it's not, you know, it's not terrible. And then he quoted me $10,000 less than the first company.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. I go, you guys have like a very similar presentation to them. I go, but you were a lot more reasonable in the sales pitch. He goes, yeah. He goes, I used to work for them. He goes, and I got sick and tired of the bullshit that they push on you. He goes, so I left and I started my own company doing the same thing.
The best part about that is the tagline for the company that I used to work for.
Yeah,
is nobody beats us, and they have this big, we will beat any competitor by 5%. And I tell people from the beginning, if you see an ad, if you hear a commercial, if you hear a salesman say, I will beat anybody by 5%,
yeah,
they're charging you 20% too much to begin with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I believe it.
You know, and it's like you said, the huge red flag. If you sign up today, $1,000 off.
Yeah.
Well, that means you're charging me too much.
Yeah. Why don't you just take the $1,000 off to begin with and give me a fair price?
Right. Well, in his case, take $10,000 off the fair price. But
so, are you still in sales? Like, do you still do that kind of work?
No, I can't deal with the same thing he was saying. I couldn't deal with the pressured, you know, you need to hit this number no matter what it takes.
Yeah.
It, you know, I spent 12 years, again, not lying to people, but knowingly manipulating and leaving information out where it needed to be left out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a good thing.
It's got to be taxing after a while.
It's, you know, both physically and mentally, because working we had to work 60 hours a week just to make our commission, you know, commission hours.
Yeah. I have a buddy like that, and he started basically selling cell phones, and now he's selling cars. And I'm like, dude, you're just going from one hustle to the next. Like, you need to get you something a little more stable that isn't reliant on you pushing like X amount of units.
Well, that's just it. I mean, at that job, we used to, you know, weekly we would get an individual performance report. Yeah. You know, this was your profit margin for the week. This was your, you know, the amount of times you sold an added alignment or an added balancing or an added anything. No. And if you were below percentages, you were on a conference call. Ugh. They wanted to know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it got to a point where I had found a new job already. I knew I was leaving. I just hadn't told them yet because I hadn't got word back that I had officially passed the drug test.
Yeah.
But I knew that was going to go through. So I'm like, all right, you know, she already told me if this goes through, I'm good. So I'm literally on a conference call with the vice president of the company. And he's literally telling me, if you don't fix this, you're fired. And I went, you don't have the balls, Mike. And this was not a guy that you wanted to say something like that to. And he literally just goes, hold on 1 minute. And the conference call just ends. You just hear all the beeps of everybody hanging up. And he calls the store, and I pick the phone up, knowing it was him already. And I'm like, yeah, blank tire. You know, can I help you? And he goes, what the fuck did you just say to me? And I believe I said, you don't have the balls, Mike. And that was the end of my job. But you know what? Was worth it.
No, yeah, dude, I bet.
Like I said, instead of giving him a 2 week notice, I had 3 weeks off.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
I remember my first job out of college. I had gone head to head with my boss a couple of times, and finally, I found a new job. I put in my 2 week notice, and at first, my boss didn't care. Like, he was just like, "All right, well, fuck this guy." Then the VP found out that I was leaving, and he was like, oh shit, like we can't lose him. So then all of a sudden my boss was like at my desk, like groveling, like, what would it take? I'm like, more money than you guys would be willing to offer. He's like, if we gave you like 20 grand more, would you stay? And I'm like, no. And he was so pissed. Right. So then it was like a week later, and, it was a really nice day in like May. And I'm like, it's like 1:30. I go, I'm gonna leave and go play golf. And I walk past one of the supervisors, like, where are you going? I go, I'm gonna go play golf. Like, it's only 1:30. I go, yeah, I already put my 2 weeks in. What are they gonna do? Fire me?
Exactly. That's like,
walk that my ass right out and play golf.
Those are the best days of work in the world. Like, when you know you're not gonna be there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly still gave them 100% every day.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Until
1:30.
Well, no, until that moment when he was like, if you don't do this,
yeah,
you're fired. Yeah. Like, wait a minute, man. I woke up this morning and made a cup of coffee just like you did.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk? Why don't you, you know, get off your soapbox behind your desk so you look like you're tall enough to be a real human and, you know, just have a conversation with
me. Yeah.
You know, why do you got to get 30 people on a conference call and start throwing threats out?
Yeah. A lot of people don't know how to lead. It's amazing how I've been through many companies in many different industries. And I tend, my job tends to put me more in the corporate atmosphere. And you'd be amazed at how many people I see at the top and at leadership roles of sizable companies that do well, that just don't know how to be leaders. And it's sad. And I think that's part of the problem with a lot of companies these days.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this particular guy, his idea of a motivational speech was to stand in front of a group of people and just point to random people and say, "You're replaceable. You're replaceable."
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like,
that's not a way to do it.
Great. I'm replaceable. Then do it.
I'll call your bluff.
Bye.
All right, we should probably get into some Discord questions, because I feel like you and I could sit here and talk like this all night long, and we'll never ask any of these questions. You down with it?
I'm in.
Okay. What's the origin story of your new username? Where does Ginger Slayer come from?
It's been a debate on Mixer, actually. It's been kind of funny. A lot of people have thrown their theories out there, and unfortunately, it goes to bed tonight.
Oh man! hot podcast exclusives. Wah, 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 wah.
So, I got a PS3.
Yeah,
and I started playing SOCOM.
Oh, I think it was what a great game.
I think it was SOCOM 3 I was playing.
Yep, yeah.
And I found out a few guys I work with played it, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't really understand, you know, the whole PlayStation thing and like going online and stuff." And a couple of the guys gave me their gamer tags. And I was like, "Oh, this will be fun." So I just randomly started jumping into games, and like I would find their name somehow. I forget how I was doing it now, but I would get into the game with them, and I just started killing this one guy all the time. And I walked into work, and his name was Steve. And yeah, he was just he's this massive redheaded guy. He's like 6'8". Like, he's got to weigh like 300 pounds, like 275, 300. He's just a house of a man.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I went, "Steve." He goes, "What?" I went, "You got to get good, man." He just looked at me and he goes, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "The Ginger Slayer's coming for you, dude." And he's like, "What?" And I changed my gamer tag.
Oh my God.
Slayer 84 that night. And I just started killing him. The next day at work, he's like, "Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?" I'm like, "Steve, I've been like literally following you for weeks now."
Oh my God. That is incredible. That might be one of the best origin stories of this guy.
It's funny because he has changed his name so many times on Xbox now, because he switched to Xbox too. And I still play games with him randomly, and I'll still throw that out there every now and then.
The troll that never quits. I like it. What would the adult version of an ice cream truck sell, and what song would it play?
Well, see, what it would sell would be really easy for me. Everybody's been hitting it close to the mark.
Okay.
You know, they're getting 50% right with the alcohol.
Yeah.
But I mean, what good is alcohol without fireworks?
Yo.
I mean, like, those two things go together.
Why didn't I didn't even think of that.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm a little disappointed, honestly.
I think you're going to take over the podcast. I'm going to step down.
You know, as far as the song, I don't know. I've been assuming you were going to ask me that, and I don't know what the song. I mean, I would have to think it'd just be a mix of hair metal.
I'm down with that. I'm 100% down with that.
Just mix it up. I mean, if I hear Twisted Sister coming down the street, I am running outside to see what the hell is going on.
Like, this should be the Joe Dirt souvenir shop.
Right? Whiz bangs, cattails.
Oh my God. All right. an epic feast is held in your honor. What's on the table?
It's actually happening tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Not in my name. Back in September, late August, early September, We lost a good buddy. He was one of our hunting buddies. And
sorry.
I appreciate that, but, you know, life happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And he requested, you know, he knew he was going to go. He had cancer.
Okay.
And he requested that he not have a traditional funeral. He wanted a party.
Hell yeah.
And right now, as we speak, I have 45 pounds of pork shoulder on the smoker
rolling right now.
A buddy of mine has, another buddy of mine's got chicken cooking. He's got, I think, around 50 pounds of chicken cooking. It's just going to be a huge barbecue.
Be an epic feast. Yeah.
I mean, we've got people from all over bringing, you know, homemade baked beans, every kind of like cookout salad you can think of.
I mean, it's only 5 hours. It's only 5 hours to Massachusetts. Probably down there.
Well, I mean, you know, I could tell you where it is, but we'd have to delete that from the podcast.
Cause... That's fine. I'll use my nose to find it.
But yeah, I mean, that's what it would be for me too. I mean, it would just be just a huge barbecue, just any kind of brisket, pork, you know, pork belly burnt ends. You can't go wrong there.
No, that's the best part. What is, yeah. So I mean, we kind of had this conversation, I think, in Devil's Chat like a week or so ago, but what is your favorite thing when you're running your smoker? What's your favorite thing to do?
It depends what smoker I'm using.
Oh, really?
I've got a Traeger. I've got the pellet smoker.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm using tonight because I don't want to be up all night babysitting it. But really, like, if I'm using my stick burner, my cabinet stick burner, my favorite thing to do while I'm doing that, I'm going to be sitting by it with a beer and a buddy, probably.
Yeah.
Just watching a brisket slowly melt into perfection.
So good.
I mean, that's
a brisket done right, I think, is probably one of the greatest cuts of meat that God has ever blessed us with.
You know, a dry brisket is a sin, but it's fixable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can always fix a dry brisket, and that's what makes briskets so great.
Fun story. When I first got my smoker, you know, I was Captain Big Balls over here with this new smoker. I'm like, I'm going to do a brisket, right? And I grabbed the brisket and set it low, real slow. And I didn't read anything up about briskets, right? So I'm like, all right, well, the safe temp for beef is 158. Cool, we'll set it there. We'll let it cook over for a little bit, right? And wrapped it in foil, let it go. And man, we cut into that thing and it was leather. I'm like, what the hell? Like, there's no way. So I went back to the drawing board and I read, and I'm like, oh, I'm like, this is completely different than anything else. Like, this needs to go to like 190 plus.
Oh, yeah.
And so like the next day, or not the next day, but like a month later, my mom works for a beef farmer, helping her out like at the farmer's market and stuff. Yep. She's like, yes, you know, the farmer gave me, you know, these briskets, these full briskets. She goes, do you want one? I'm like, yes. I go, this is my redemption. I go, you guys come over for dinner, we'll do it. Right. And I started this thing at like 4 o'clock in the morning and let it go all day. And I swear you could cut that thing with a butter knife. And it was like the most rewarding experience. I'm like, this is perfect redemption.
Oh, see that awesome. When I first started smoking meat, the first thing I tried to do was a rack of ribs.
Mm. Now, which are also very tricky.
And well, they're very tricky. And if you're not very intelligent like myself, you think, well, I mean, they were frozen, but they've been sitting out on the counter for a solid 2 hours now.
Yeah.
They're probably good.
Yeah, sure, they're fine.
I rubbed them down. I threw them on the smoker, and yeah, they were good for about the first quarter of an inch, and then they were raw. Yeah, that was awful.
Oh my god. Who was your role model growing up?
That was a tough one to think about actually this week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say my grandfather, my mother's father.
Okay.
Because he was the life lesson guy. He was the this is how you shave. This is, you know,
gotcha.
This is how you treat women. This is you know, this is what you do. You work for a living, you treat people good, you know, life will reward you kind of guy.
Yeah. The important things in life.
Right. He was kind of the cornerstone of the family, really.
That's cool. I dig it. Who is what's your favorite flavor of Pop-Tart?
See, you're gonna hate me. And Devils is gonna throw this in my face because I have been busting him about unfrosted strawberry for a week now.
Oh no.
I don't like sweets. I don't like sweet foods. Like, I drink my coffee black with nothing in it.
As you should.
Yeah. I'm not a sugar person. Like,
I come from a company that one of our biggest commodities is coffee creamer, and yet I will not put it in my coffee.
Good, it's blasphemous.
That's right.
If I'm gonna eat a Pop-Tart, it's gonna be an unfrosted blueberry. Like, as plain Jane as you can get.
Listen. Unfrosted, first of all, is like a sin to Pop-Tarts. But I have a little bit more respect for somebody that does an unfrosted blueberry. Just because that is a little bit, it's not like your normal strawberry, right? It's not plain Jane. It's got at least a little bit of uniqueness to it. So I might not like you right now, but I can respect you.
See, I'll eat blueberry anything. I love blueberry. Yeah. But the frosting is where you lose me. I can't just sweets, like even growing up, like Halloween was never really that big holiday for me. Yeah. Like I don't dig sweets. I don't dig sugar.
I'm not a real big like candy person. But like when my wife bakes or like my mom bakes like a pie or something like that, I can get down on that. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of like chugging down Easter candy and Halloween candy and shit like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get some of these questions to the community before we end up at 2 hours. Obi says, so you moderate for a lot of people in the community and you seem to take it a little bit more professionally, kind of similar to Skid. Is this something that you would want to pursue in the future as like maybe something as a like more professional mod, like going as a global mod like Skid's trying to do?
You know, I don't think so. I think where I'm at right now is about as far as I'm really going to take it. I mean, I enjoy doing it. And like I said earlier, I look at it as like, you know, Obi's partnered. He makes money from this. He's, this is a job for him, you know? So I want to help, you know, treat his chat like, you know, that chat is his company. That channel is his company. You know, he says to people, you know, he works for Microsoft, which is essentially what it is. You know, he gets paid from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like to help people out with stuff like that. You know, like I want to make his life a little easier. And that's why I do it. You know, it's not something I want to take to the level of, you know, like Skid wants to do like a global mod thing.
Yeah.
I'm not set up for that. I'm working off a laptop, you know.
Low budget over here.
I'm working off a laptop while I'm half-assed watching TV out of the corner of my eye.
I gotta swipe the beer cans off my keyboard just to ban somebody.
I don't gotta move them off the keyboard. I just gotta move them from out in front of the keyboard.
That makes sense. It's Bree says, do you notice a difference in modding for female streamers versus male streamers?
There is a difference. You know, it depends on the day. Yeah. It depends on the game. It depends on the streamer. There were a lot of times, even before I was a mod in Bree's channel, you know, where people would come out with some just really inappropriate stuff. I mean,
It's amazing how shitty people can be on the internet.
And I'm always hesitant, you know, with the person that comes into chat and leads mm-hmm. off with, "You look pretty."
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to time you out or ban you or do anything right now.
Yeah, just don't make this weird.
I know your name, and I am watching you. Like, you know, cross that line.
Yeah.
And you're gone. There's no question about it. You know, because there's been people that have gone in there, you know, her channel specifically, and just said some awful things for no reason. There's been other people that I've literally had to repeatedly type in chat, "Mixer is not a dating site." You know, like,
yep.
You know, like, literally, I've typed those words in her chat more times than I can count.
Been there, done like, that.
Like, please just stop. Like, if you'd like, I could compile a list of dating sites that you could go do this on.
Yeah, you'd probably be more successful too.
You know, I mean, and she takes it in stride, which is amazing. Like,
yeah.
You know, she sits there and just, you know, you can see sometimes, you know, like anybody, you know, it catches her and it's like, okay. But then other times she just goes, "Oh, that's nice. Yep. Move on. Goodbye." And that's 99% of the time. It's the random, you know, a night's going great. You're 2 hours in. Everything's going smooth. And then all of a sudden one dickhead just pops in and,
ruins, you know, everything.
Yeah, just throws it out there.
Pug asks, "What's the greatest thing that you ever achieved in life that you're proud of?"
See, that's a tough one because I don't feel like I've really achieved a whole lot in life, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived kind of a quiet, under the radar life. Like, there's been no real big accomplishments. I mean,
that's kind of an achievement in itself.
I mean,
it means people leave you the hell alone.
Yeah, but they don't.
Oh, yeah,
that's true. I guess, you know, for me personally, like, nobody else is going to see it as a real big achievement, but, you know, getting out of a job that I hated every day and moving into a job that I wake up in the morning excited to go to work.
What do you do now? Did I ask you that?
I'm an ambulance mechanic, actually.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
I work for a privatized ambulance company.
Yeah. I have a bunch of buddies that are EMTs, so I have utmost respect for everybody that helps them do what they do, so that's kind of a big job.
Yeah, well, next time you see them, tell them to keep their feet off the dash. They're breaking the vents.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to fucking text them later tonight. I'm like, "Hey, get your feet off the fucking dash." Moody says, "You love your GIFs. What's your favorite GIF of all time?"
That one actually had me stumped for a long time because I'm thinking about it, like, there are so many GIFs and so many scenarios where they're just perfect.
Yeah.
You know, like, and every channel.
It's less about the GIF and more about, like, the use.
It's the placement of the GIF. Like, if I pop into Rob's chat and somebody asks him about the Mario hat, and I throw up the end scene from the first level of Mario Brothers, the original one,
mm-hmm.
where Mario is standing next to the flagpole with the castle in view, and there's a stripper bouncing up and down on the flagpole. I mean, that right there is just, it's gold.
Yeah, it might not be the best GIF, but in that moment, it's the best GIF.
But it doesn't work everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, the one GIF I've found that makes everybody just stop and look at it and then just ask why. it's I don't even know how to really describe it, but it's these little colorful cartoon guys, and one of them is laying on his back and he like pushes his belly button and soft serve comes out and lands in a bowl and he walks away and another one walks up and he does it again.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, I'd have to give it to that one probably because everybody just stops and goes, "What the fuck?"
Devil's Wrath asks, "What's your favorite hobby besides gaming?"
Hunting. Definitely hunting. Yeah, I'm a deer hunter.
Yeah.
I go away for a week every year and just disappear in the woods. No electricity, no running water, nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it was speaking to me last week when, or the week before when you guys were talking about, you know, being out before, you know, shooting light and the quiet, you know,
that
like
zen.
When I'm out there, it's quiet. And then all of a sudden you hear the turkeys start coming down out of the trees.
Yep.
You know, and just the movement starts. And last year I was lucky enough that there was actually a bear.
Oh, wow.
That had a den just over the hill from where I was sitting. And every morning, you know, I would hear it get up and let out just this bellow of, hey, world, I'm here to fuck you up. And I was like, just walk out in front of me. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah.
For us, black bear and deer fall under the same season.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
I'm sitting in my blind with a tag for both going, I wouldn't mind seeing you, fella.
What are we going to do today? Yeah, no, it's incredible. And I always say that, like, I think as outdoorsmen, like, we see a lot of things that a lot of people will never, ever see. Like, the last fall, I was sitting out on the bay, and I saw a flock, right? And I've never seen flocks of these. I saw a flock of probably about 35 swans.
Wow.
And they came, and they flew down. So we were kind of sitting in the bay. They flew down the edge of the lake. They turned into the bay, and they probably flew in front of us by, I don't know, 10, 15 feet. And to see, like, that big of a bird fly past you so gracefully, it's just, it's insane. And, like, I think a lot of people, like, drive by the water or drive by the woods, and, like, they never pay attention, right? Because we're always on highways, or we're always on, you know, in a hurry to get to the next place. And, like, when you just go out into nature and just spend time out there, like, there's just some incredible things that you see that it's hard to translate to people that weren't there, like, even through pictures and stuff, you know.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, like, I don't want to drag this one out too long, but in your chat the other day, we were talking, and I think it was the Night Devils podcast came out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Crazy Cat Lady heard that you were a duck hunter, and we had that conversation afterwards.
Yeah.
And you talking about the swans just now is just making me think, like, you know, people think that you go out into the woods with a gun just to kill things. No. That's all you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's been so many times I've sat in my blind,
just watched
and watched, you know, a doe walk up and just stand there and look at it and go, that one's probably too small, so I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah, let it get bigger. Let it grow.
You know? Or you see a spike horn come walking up.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I still got 5 days left. That one doesn't need to go.
No.
You know, if it's the last hour of the last day.
Yeah, and I think that's the conservation. Like, that's the conservation part of being an outdoorsman. And, you know, I know that over in Europe, like, the culture behind hunting is very different. I've had conversations with associates from Germany over and explained to them how hunting goes in here, and, like, it's a very different thing out there. But what I liked was that, and this is kind of a testament to our community again, is we were able to have a pretty hot button topic. You know, the difference between conservation and hunting. In chat, and nobody got defensive, nobody attacked each other. Like, we were able to have, like, a good conversation, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, one of my mods who was in chat, like, DM'd me, like, in the middle of the conversation, was like, hey, do you want me to take care of this? And I'm like, no, like, this is the type of engagement and, like, content that I love to have. Like, I would much rather sit and talk to chat than play video games a lot of times, because I think those are good times to get to know each other and really see each other's viewpoints, and that's what makes us a tighter community.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I mean, like, the conversation that came from it was, it seemed like, at least on my end, more of an understanding on both sides, like an understanding of where, you know, she was coming from. And also, it seemed like she was understanding that we weren't just going out there to, you know, to just randomly pick off any animal that walk by. You know, we're mindful of what we're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was great. It was, like you said, it was a calm, you know, no attacking, nobody even got angry or anything like that. It seemed, it was just
level headed. It was fantastic. It was honestly one of my favorite streaming moments of this year so far.
And I love streams like that. Like Tangle stream. I have so much fun when he's just,
I've never seen that man play a video game.
I was going to say, I'm not 100% sure he's ever played any game other than Mecha.
No, I've never seen him play a video game. Ever.
I'm only kidding. XXX Tingles XXX.
XXX. 360 no scope Tingles XX. Lucid asks, if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go?
I'd probably go to Europe, honestly. Yeah. I've never been to that part of the world, and I'd like to see that. I mean, I've been to the Caribbean, I've been to Mexico. I've never gone east.
Yeah.
I've always gone south.
Europe's pretty cool. I got to spend like a weekend in Germany for work one time. And it's just cool to see like old areas, like old buildings and stuff that's been preserved and has made it through like all these years. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do that. Just like tour a few different countries in Europe and just see what it's all about.
Chaotic asks, what was it like to meet some of the members of the stream team at PAX East?
That was a lot of fun. I mean, it was really stressful for me personally because, me and a lot of people are not a good combination. I don't deal well with crowds.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And I got there right when they opened. Like, I got there Thursday at 11 a.m. I was standing there waiting in line, uncomfortable as all get out because it was literally like cattle herded into, you know, different chutes. But to actually, like, to get over and meet the team, it was fun. I mean, they are exactly who they are on stream.
Yeah, just a lot shorter.
of the ones that I met, you know, I met Bree, I met Jay, Chaotic, Obi, Rob, every one of them, they're exactly the person they are on stream. Like,
we're gonna bring the taller half of the team next year.
Well, I only live 2 hours away from Boston, so I should be able to swing a trip again. Cool. So everybody can get a comparison photo of my 5'10" next to everybody.
Yeah, we'll get you with you, me, and Moody and Brew, and we'll go and then, from there.
And then I'll be the short guy in the picture going, yeah. The hell, guys? Give my hat back.
Whiskey Tango asks, what's your favorite drink of choice?
That really depends. I mean, the everyday is any kind of just cheap American beer.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's just a day at home, it'll be Bud Light, Coors Light, you know, something light, which everybody laughs at, but I really don't care. I like it. If I'm feeling fancy, which fancy for me is low grade for most, I might throw some Gentleman Jack in a bottle, in a glass rather, and just drink that, you know, by itself. Or
you a rocks man or just straight whiskey?
No, I just put it in a glass. Usually room temperature in a glass is fine for me.
Oh man, I like it in the glass room temperature, but I also like just like a drop of water. Like not even like a, it's hard to explain. It's just something about it. Like one of my roommates was always like, you gotta put a drop of water in your whiskey. I never understood, but now it's just become like a habit for me.
Yeah.
If you could be one character in any game, comic book, or superhero movie, who would it be?
Yeah, I'd probably want to be Tony Stark.
That'd be a cool one, yeah.
I mean, dude's got money.
Yeah.
Dude's got a suit he can fly around in.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
What else do you want?
If if your job... Oh, these are from your Meant to Be, by the way. I forgot. I just assumed everybody knows where these questions come from.
I'm aware of where they came from because I've been reading them.
if your job gave you a surprise 3-day paid break to rest and recuperate, what would you do with those 3 days?
That's a tough one. I mean, I would... There'd be a few things I'd like to do. I'd really need, like... 3 days in like separate dimensions so I could do everything because right. I'd really enjoy just sitting down with my laptop and just getting to catch the people that I don't usually see because I'm at work.
I know. I was just thinking about this the other day. It's like ever since my new job in September, man, I haven't watched nearly as much Mixer as I used to. And there's a lot of people that like, I don't think I've caught Rob's stream in months. I swing in at the first of every month so that I can renew my sub or like hit the message to share my sub. But that's about all I can make anymore. It's like work's gotten so insane.
Yeah, I mean that would probably be the most realistic one. I mean, if they gave me 3 days off, it would be really time dependent to say I'd like to get 3 extra days of hunting in.
Yeah, that'd be. That'd be incredible, right?
Yeah, but if they did it now, I'm kind of out of luck.
Yeah. What artist or band do you always recommend when somebody asks for a music recommendation?
Oh, Hank Williams, every time.
Yeah, oh, that's good. That's good. I like it.
Like old school Hank.
So finish this sentence. Back in my day, we... What?
Oof. Back in my day, we used to have to get up to change the channel on a TV.
Oh, I love that.
Let me just date myself a little bit there.
Yeah, right? I still remember like when they, before they even had the dials, they just had like the push buttons.
Right? Yeah, like the and old 8-track style buttons, like the pop.
Yeah. If you went to Google right now, what was the last thing that you Googled?
The last thing that I Googled was how to pronounce Lake Chumbawamba or whatever it was. Devil and Lucid will understand that.
All right.
Because they asked me to pronounce that on here, and I said in their chat, I can't fucking pronounce that. But if you Google longest lake name in Massachusetts, you will see what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. All right. So I thought it was only fitting that we end the podcast with a Mr. Handsome rapid fire. Are you ready?
Let's do this because me and Handsome, we're on the same level.
That's why I figured this was like the perfect way to end this podcast. All right, here we go. Why are you such a manly man?
You know, it's second nature to me. I can't even really tell you. It's a gift from the gods, really.
What is your average testosterone levels?
I usually run about 1450 to 7.
Depending on the time of day.
If it's morning, it's 1700, but as, you know, midnight hits, I drop down.
Gotcha. How many bears have you killed with your bare hands? Round to the nearest 100th, if you must.
Well, if we're talking about gummy bears, it's in the thousands. If we're talking about real bears, no.
No. Why do you keep a cheese grater on your toolbox at work?
See, I was going to try to keep this podcast PG.
Oh, no.
But I can't do that now.
I mean, we marked it explicit. The second episode was whiskey. We're past that point.
So I start my new job as an ambulance mechanic.
Yeah.
And people don't know me. And I'm not an approachable guy.
Yeah.
I'm just not. Like, I don't ever look happy. I'm not. I mean, if you look at the beard and the face and just... the usual scowl that I have.
Yeah.
So a supervisor, a paramedic, and an EMT walk into a bar. No, they walk into the fleet shop. I'm the only one there. We haven't met. And I like to bring levity to situations because I know I don't look like a happy guy. I know I don't look like an approachable guy. So I assume telling them a joke is going to help. They're whispering to each other as they walk up, almost as if they're trying to figure out who's going to speak first.
Yep.
And one of them, the supervisor, looks at me and he goes, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but... And I just stopped and I looked at him and I went, stop. He looks at me and I goes, the three of you, I want you to walk up to the women's bathroom and fuck each other with a cheese grater until you find out what my name is. It was just the most random thought that popped into my head. The guy I work with heard me say it, died laughing, bought me a cheese grater and put it on my toolbox. So yeah, that's where the cheese grater comes from.
Awesome. How do you eat your steaks?
Rare.
How do you rate your hug and handshake giving level giving on a scale of 1 to 10?
Hugs would be like a 3.
Okay.
Depending on the person.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody outside of family or a significant other is a 3. Handshake, I'm gonna give like a 7. I was in sales, so I had to lighten it up a whole lot for that. You know, because some people just can't handle the handshake.
Yeah, they're weak. did you know fruit flies like fruit, but also fruit flies like fruit?
I didn't even understand that question. I read it 100 times, and I still don't.
Fruit flies. The fruit flies. They like fruit.
Yep.
But fruit also flies like fruit.
Oh, now I get it. And yeah, I did not know that.
I literally had to decipher that while you were answering the previous question to figure out what the fuck that meant.
I read it 100 times and I just kept writing, did you know fruit flies like fruit? And did you know fruit flies like fruit? I'm like, I don't get it. I think he had a stroke when he wrote that.
If you had to hike the whole Appalachian Trail, what would you bring with you?
Well, if I had to hike the whole Appalachian Trail, I would probably bring some beer and a rifle because there's some angry animals.
Yeah, I mean, you got to eat.
I mean, it's about all you need, right?
Yeah. What's a strange northern saying that you use a lot?
I don't think any of them are strange. I mean, I'm from the north. They're normal here.
See, I can tell you they use down south that are weird.
I can tell you that since I started playing games with Mr. Handsome, people up here laugh at me and think it's the weirdest thing because I always, like, if something goes wrong, I always say, well, shit.
Well, shit.
But Mr. Handsome, every time we play a game, something would happen, and he always says, well, piss. So for whatever reason, I just switched it up and started saying that. And people just look at me like I have 4 heads now. Like, what the hell did you just say? Well, piss. What?
What? Shit happens.
It's like the clean version.
Last question he had. Why do these strange bumps keep appearing on me every month or so?
You're going to want to see a doctor for that. I'm pretty sure it's like the glitter of the love world, though. It's that gift that keeps on giving.
You never get rid of all of it. You always keep finding it. Years later.
You are welcome.
All right. I have to say, I don't think I've laughed this hard recording a podcast yet. So thank you. If people want to hear more of your shenanigans or talk to you more, where would they go to find you?
I'm all over Mixer. Basically, if somebody's in, you'll probably find me somewhere in their chat at some point. And I'm in the Discord. I may not be super active in typing in there, but I'm always just kind of, you know, like in life and on Mixer, I'm always lurking around somewhere. I'm there looking.
Amen, brother. All right. Well, if you guys don't know, I'm Rock City Roller. You can find me on Mixer, Instagram, and Facebook at Rock City Roller, YouTube at Rock City Roller TV, Twitter at Rock City Roller 1. Ginger, thank you so much. This was a ton of fun.
I had a blast, man. This was a lot more fun than I thought. I was going to be a lot more nervous.
Well, I'm glad. This was a good episode. We had some good laughs and some good stories. I appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you, man.
All right. And for everybody listening, bye. And that'll be it for the 23rd episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. Huge thanks to Ginger for taking the time out of his busy schedule to chat with us. Please make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you receive podcast content. We're now on Spotify, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts, as well as many other podcast platforms. If you can, please rate and review the podcast, as this will move us up in the search results and help others find the community. Additionally, you can now support the podcast with a monetary pledge at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support. To help support the production and commissioning costs of the podcast. Please don't forget to join the Discord at discord.gg/oneofus so you can chat with all of our guests and submit questions for future episodes. Additionally, we feature LFG, streaming tech support, monthly game giveaways, and great conversations with over 2,000 members. Again, you can find me on Mixer, Facebook, and Instagram at Rock City Roller, YouTube at Rock City Roller TV, and Twitter at Rock City Roller 1. For more awesome content from the One of Us stream team, be sure to check out the team page on Mixer. Mixer.com/team/oneofus. We're sure to include all those links in the show notes as well. Stay tuned to the Discord for an announcement on the next guest, and so you can ask your questions. Until then, I'm Roxy Roller, and this has been the One of Us Community Podcast.